Boat Düsseldorf and European Boating Industry present the BID 360 Special.
Welcome to Boat Ahoy, the B2B podcast of Boat Düsseldorf in cooperation with EBI, the European Boating Industry. My guests today are Annemarie Bauer-Arz, Vice President of the European Boating Industry, Arieti Priorou, Health, Safety, Environmental Officer at D-Marine, and Jonathan White, General Manager at the Yacht Hour Association. Thanks for joining us today. And our topic today is the consequences of climate change on the marine and on the marina industry. And we had the huge flooding in the Baltic Sea late in 2023, something which put this topic on the minds of everybody living in the area of the Baltic, and not only to the experts who talk about changes and climate change and adaptations we have to do in the industry anyways. So the flooding of the Baltic Sea last year destroyed marina infrastructure and 2,000 boats or even more. How strong is the influence of climate change on yachting and the marina industry already today?
It has an enormous impact, of course, that we see, because I'm more involved with the insurance part of the sector. So we see an increasement in claims, and especially in climate, environmental claims. So yeah, unfortunately, this happens. And some of the people still don't know exactly how it will impact on their insurances. So it's important that, first of all, that via our organization, European Boating Industry, that we convince at least every member, European member, or the European Parliament, or people who are involved with climate change in Europe, that at least we make insurances compulsory, so that at least every boat owner is obliged to have third-party liability, removal of wreck, and a pollution risk policy. Depends if they want to insure that boat fully or risk kill the machinery, that's up their own decision, of course. But in first instance, to protect also the responsibilities of the marinas, that more European countries make a liability insurance compulsory.
But this is a long road, isn't it, in order to really reach that goal and have a compulsory insurance in every country?
Yeah, it's still a long road to go. But for example, a few months ago, I've been in Lithuania, and Lithuania government is now thinking of making that compulsory, because also they are building more infrastructure on their inland waterways. They're going to dredge more, so they're going to kick off in boating as well. And they saw the necessity already to make that compulsory. So I think more and more this is, it's going to be very important to do that. So, yeah.
So if you look at the industry in total, how far are we? How are preparations going on? There have to be changes made in almost every place that is close to the water, it's close to the ocean. So are we in time in the industry, or are we already late, Jonathan?
Well, that's a big question, isn't it, as to whether we're in time. And it does depend on location. I mean, the wonderful thing about marinas is that every single one is different. Different locations, different infrastructure, different customers. So, and some are further advanced because, as we discussed earlier on in the EBI panel session, that some marinas are new and have the latest infrastructure, probably floating infrastructure, and have applied the latest data and calculations to that site. Other marinas, their infrastructure might be 50, 60 years old and might be family-owned, and the family doesn't necessarily have the money to invest to future-proof the marina. And so, you know, groups like D-Marine are taking over some of those sites and putting significant investment in and therefore turning them into new marinas or newly reconfigured marines. Some are ready, some are not. Well, saying that, are any of them ready on the basis that it's not just water level rise we're talking about? It's changes in wind direction, in the you know, the strong winds, and it may normally come from the southwest, but actually maybe they're now going to come from the west or the northeast. So therefore, It's the continual re-evaluation that's required, continual risk assessment to look at what may happen, and looking at other cases around the world and what happens, like in the Baltic, that likewise some smaller cases I mentioned earlier on, smaller, but one in Holyhead in North Wales, where a marina with 80 boats was just destroyed because the wind came in an unpredictable direction. Not sure that completely answers your question, but there isn't a straightforward yes or no answer.
Yeah, I didn't expect one, actually. You mentioned the financial impact, and especially on smaller marinas, family-driven marinas. Does it also mean that we will see marinas closing down, marinas dying, because they just can't afford to invest in renovation, invest in floating jetties, sure, and so on?
I don't think so, because there is a great demand for marina berthing. Yeah. So therefore, I think what we're going to see is a change in ownership. Yeah. With that change in ownership would inevitably come investment. You wouldn't buy an aging marina unless you're prepared to invest in it. I think it's a point in time where the industry is going from, you know, family-owned and run to more group and more, you know, the focus is more a big business focus rather than actually a family focus. It is a changing industry.
What do boat owners have to do, and what can they do in order to prevent their babies, actually? I mean, everybody loves, who owns a boat and loves his boat. It's this focus of his life for many people. So what do they have to do in order to make their sports, their leisure life future-proof in the end?
I'm not sure if I'm the right person to say that, but I will try to answer this thinking about our customers and the boat owners who are coming to the marinas and what we tell them or what we advise them. Yeah. Okay, first of all, I think Jonathan mentioned in the panel, these people have to be trained. They must follow the rules, very simple. They must have their boats insured. For example, Anne-Marie said earlier about the insurance status, we require as marinas from all our customers to have insurance, liability, of course, in case there's a damage, in case there's a fire to their property. So this requirement. So what I would suggest to the boat owners is, okay, it's a pleasure, of course, but they have to be ready, must have the awareness, the training, and a monitor. You know, it's not just a hobby. They go out, have to check the weather conditions. We have the possibility to know the weather conditions 3 days in advance now. So very simple, to take your boat and go out. The protection of the boat as a property is another story, how you can do that. Jonathan said it's not easy to say what you can do to protect your boats after all these adverse weather conditions. But at least the boat owners, they love what they do. It's a hobby. They have to respect the sea, to respect the nature. And then I think are in a good pathway. I don't know if you agree.
I do. And also make the right choice in terms of the marina you put your boat in. The marina should be a safe haven, and you should be able to be moor your boat in the marina of your choice and then go away with confidence that the boat will be looked after. And so therefore, my advice would be, you know, look at the location you want to keep your boat in, and look at your marina choices, but don't select on price necessarily.
If you look at the typical situation in the Mediterranean, German people having the boat berthed on the island of Mallorca, for instance, that's 3 to 5 hours away by plane from home. Driving is impossible. Take also a look at the marinas in South France, for instance. You live like a day journey away from your boat. Maybe many would be able to get to the boat in time in order to prevent it from the next incident. Is it also a demand for the marinas to offer new kind of services in order to protect?
I have a very good example. Yeah. Again, I will agree with Jonathan, but let's be honest. With all these extreme adverse weather conditions, I cannot say, yes, the marinas are ready to save all the boat. It's impossible. Not any marina. I think you agree. Yep. For example, what we did, that's why I said it's an excellent example. We offered to our customers sensors. We cooperated with Sensor Boat. Mm-hmm. And we offer them sensors so they can see the status of their boat, if waters are coming to the boat, what's happening with their battery, what's happening with in case of a serious incident of fire, etc. So this helps them feel confident, let's say. and also helps the marinas, because in case something happens, with the alarm system, help us to react very fast and save the boat to the extent possible, of course, okay? Again, and this is what Joel said, this is the difference. That's why they have to choose marinas that they feel confident that they will. These marinas will protect their boat. So even if they're one day away, they know that they have the right information, they will receive the right information on time. Mm-hmm. We are there for them to protect their property and again, provide them all the information they want.
Yeah, I agree with that. And Aresi, correct me if I'm wrong, but if you have a 350 berth marina and that you have an extreme weather event, you wouldn't want 350 customers coming into the marina. All to do with preparation. Yes. It's all to do with, you know, marinas actually providing the right services and protecting the customer's beloved asset.
And you know what they say, prevention is better than cure always. That's why I like what we do in the marine. We were committed a lot, and we invest a lot in prevention in general. I was saying again at the panel that we invest in solar panels. We invest in green energy. We try to find environmental friendly solution, thinking about the future. We find this with the sensor, the solution, again, based on the prevention, and to have, of course, happy customers. This is what we want. But investments, infrastructure, operations, people, all these are linked. Awareness of our stakeholders, of our customers, and let's cross fingers for the future not to have a disaster, as they discussed earlier.
Anna-Marie, if you look at the countries or regions and cities, what do you demand from the local authorities? We see in the Netherlands, for instance, they are building higher dikes all around the country. Have been doing that for years now. Of course, the Netherlands have to be much more protected than other countries in the world, because it's really partially below sea level. Yeah. Are they doing enough? What's your demand from the governmental authorities in the countries? What would they have to do in order to support all the preventive actions the industry has to do? Mm-hmm. Is there enough dialogue between the industry and the governmental authorities?
I do know from an underwriter's point of view, there are certain panels and there are certain meetings on a yearly basis, because, of course, insurance companies are also very concerned that they say, listen, if we have to continuously paying all these environmental disasters, it's not possible. Yeah, what can you do to support? Are there special funds? So in certain insurance premiums, there is a certain percentage which goes then not to the insurers, but to a certain fund. So you build up a fund. So if you have more and more disasters, that funds then can be used to indemnify or to pay claims or to get up starting a certain marina or whatever. What, of course, as insurers and underwriters, we also advise the client that they always have to treat their boat and their property as they are non-insured. So that means that please try to take as much as possible precautions to avoid a bigger disaster, or help the marinas, or tell to the marinas or the marina owner or responsible, look, I have an additional key, or I have this on board, that on board, so that they are aware, because it's not always covered in insurance as well. They are not so allowed. We have in 2 days, we're going to have bad weather, as you just mentioned. People are living 24 hours away from their boat. It's a minimum sometimes. The harbor responsible is allowed to bring their boat somewhere else, because that's then the next problem they can have. Well, but my boat was in good condition. You tow him to another place, and look, he's damaged now. Although that harbor master did it with the best intentions. Definitely. To avoid more. You see, there is a lot of also that it's not only the responsibility of the marina, but it's also the responsibilities also with the owners, and also with the governments, and to oblige boat owners to do follow certain requirements, safety requirements or whatever. That's really important, because I mentioned that also in the panel. I don't want to go too much into technical thing, but if you have an insurance premium, behind that there is a reinsurance premium. And that's these costs. These are the reasons why all of us, our insurance, house insurance, car insurance, boat insurance, are increasing, because there are too much catastrophes. Mm-hmm. So these reinsurance premiums are increasing. So that's why, indirectly, the normal premium which we see is also increasing. And there are a lot of what insurers are doing now is taking on board a lot of actuaries. And these are really, I've seen that, because one of my friends, her brother, is an actuary, and he's working for an insurance company, and he's explained to me that on a big screen, how they look at it as an actuary point of view, catastrophically, where is it based, again, from what's in that section, area section, is more flooding or more this or more that. And even then they say, we need to add something else, because you can't predict it anymore. It can be totally something wrong. And that's why we need, if everybody pays an insurance premium, or Europe oblige, make it compulsory, then there is more money in the pot. So indirectly, it will benefit to help and pay claims in case of a disaster.
If you look at the absolute practical side of it, from through the eyes of a marina owner or a marina driver, what would be your recommendations? What should marina owners do now? What actions would they have to take in order to prepare their property, their business, for more and more climate change-inducted incidents? Strengthen the jetties and dikes. Is it their task at all? Does the local authority have to do it? Build stronger poles in the water in order to prevent boats from shaking loose from their berth. We talked about the floating infrastructure. So where do they have to begin, and what's the end? And
who can give this answer? I'm not sure. This is what I said to the panel. I mean, I don't know. Maybe, Jonathan has so many years of experience with the marinas. But who answer this question, what we can do, especially for the infrastructure? I'm sure in UK, because you have this tidal phenomena, you know that from first. I mean, it's
an island.
Yes.
Don't we know it?
Yes. So
the tidal phenomena are probably much more prepared than marinas.
Maybe.
We saw that.
Jonathan said about the marinas. We have marinas in Greece, for example, and not in Turkey, but it's, as he said, it's 50. I mean, in Lefkas marinas, for example, there are how many? 50? No, many, not 50, 30 years old. So concrete. We have some floating docks, but what we can do, and then, I don't know, destroy the marina and build even the offices and all the shops, the coffee shops, the restaurants, what hire?
It's I think as we discussed earlier on, it's there isn't one response to that. There are many different responses that depend on where you are in the world, like what type of marina you have.
The marina is different. You said that.
Exactly.
Yes, I totally agree.
Wave attenuation is really important. Breakwaters are really important in marinas, and I think it's a matter of whichever marina that you own or run. You need to think about what is the worst that could happen and, prepare for the worst and hope for the best, would be my suggestion.
I like this sentence. Yes, hope for the best. This is the message that I send in order.
That's your
question. Yes, I'm trying to think in this way, because for me, it's if you make a real risk assessment, I'm sure you cannot handle the risks. You can see many opportunities for sure. Risk assessment includes opportunities. I'm not sure who can handle the risk today. It's not so easy. That's why I'm not sure who can reply, can give a straight answer to this question.
And I think we discussed it earlier on in the panel session that when you have the opportunity to invest, and that might be through being bought by a group, it might be a concession coming towards the end, so it's the local authority that then takes that responsibility. But when there's the opportunity, take the best possible advice that you can find, be that consultancy, be that weather experts or whoever,
scientists.
And don't just replace what you already have with a newer version. You know, think about the future. You know, think very carefully about what you do. If you are not in a position whereby you're going to rebuild or reconfigure, then it comes down to maintenance. Get your maintenance procedures right. So keep your infrastructure in the best possible condition and prepare, risk assess, and prepare for what might happen, you know, could happen. And that might be, you know, if you think that an extreme weather event is going to lift the water level beyond, so the pontoons float off the piles, find an emergency method of extending the piles. It might just be wooden inserts that allow you to extend. Proactive risk assessment is so important.
I'm thinking what Jonathan says, that I have the example of earthquakes in my mind, because in Greece and Turkey we have that. So this, after all these years, we have adapted, and I had in mind, and we, for example, for the boats in the dockyard, we support the pedals, so we have this in mind. The extreme weather is something new, because I brought the example with the boat, or the incident we had. So now we have to adapt our emergency procedures again, what to do, what are the precautions you can take. So you see, you have to think about it all the time. Think, adapt, resilience. And for me, I will always say, as Jonathan said, you make a new marina, take the opinion of others. For me, the scientists, I was reading some very interesting articles about instead of breakwaters and these protected, I don't know, barriers, I was reading about to use the natural hydrology and to have a natural tidal system, you know, import seeds and sediments and, you know, help the marinas and the coastal, it's not only the marinas again, through the nature itself. So you see, take the opinion of scientists, of engineers. I totally agree with you. And build marinas, especially for the marinas that are renovated or they're built from the beginning. So yes, take consultation of other artists.
And I think, interestingly, if you do have an extreme weather event and you get away with it, so it doesn't cause any damage, don't be complacent, because it may well have actually change the shape of the river, the yes, seabed, riverbed, whatever. You know, if that happened again, would it not be a disaster, or would it now be a disaster? So it's continual risk assessment and reevaluation.
Do you think we will see more boats being berthed on land in the future? You talked about it before on the panel today, drastic docking, as we know from Florida, for instance.
Yeah.
Will we see that here in Europe as well? Is it a trend that might develop? Not for sailing boats, of course.
No, exactly. I mean, it's only for certain types of boat in certain locations. I mean, first of all, you need the space, you need the land to actually put the dry stack in. I think we are naturally seeing more dry berthing. One of the reasons for that is it increases the capacity of a marina, and it's probably cheaper than increasing your wet berthing. And also, as far as the customer's concerned, if it's a covered dry stack, it protects their boat well. They don't have to anti-foul the boat. So there's a whole load of benefits associated with it. So in many cases, it's an added value for the customer as much as anything else. And then you've got the issues to do with the perception of the owner as well in how their boat is protected when they're not there. And also, in some respects, if the boat's not there, sat on the water, there's not quite the emotional pressure on the person to go down and use the boat. So it's being looked after in a dry stack environment.
But again, you have, you know, so many scenarios are coming to my mind. Again, all these areas, you have to be sure that, again, that the infrastructure there is also very well. For this extreme weather condition, if you have a shelter and you have there all the boats, again, you have to make sure that these shelters are properly constructed. So you see,
yeah.
Yes. So again, I think it's not easy to fight with the weather condition, unless, of course, I can use my superpower. I don't know, under my clothes, I have. I'm like a superwoman, like Superman, and stop everything and protect the boats, something like that.
Yeah, I guess it will bring up new challenges for marina owners.
Absolutely.
If you park more boats on land. We see it here every winter, boats being blown away from storms. Yes, they are on land. Yes, they are supposedly safe, but in the end, they are not, because the direction is not perfect into the wind, and maybe they are parked with their sails still on the boom, and the angle or the area for the wind, the area of attack for the wind is even bigger if the boat's parked in water. Yeah. So you just probably shift one risk. Switch one risk for another.
Yes. That's what I just wanted to mention as well, and to add to it, that we as our insurers and underwriters, they look at it as when it's on land, they prefer boats in the water and not on the land. And yeah. some people say, my premium reduce because, I had a guy and he said, I just bought a new boat, but and he's in Greece and he intend to only have the boat in the water when he is in Greece. So he will then every time the boat will be manipulated to the land, then in the crane back, and I think, that will not reduce your premium, it will even increase your premium. So it's not always the best solution to put your boat on the land, but the boats, the small daily day cruisers, little boats, they perhaps are better on these shallows and stuff. Yeah. From an insurance point of view, it's not decreasing the risk.
And the reality is depends on the type of marina we're talking about and where they focus their attention. So if you're if you focus more on the larger end of the market, including, super yachts and the like, you can't take them out of the water. So I think it's just, as we said earlier on, the wonderful thing about marinas is that they are all different. You have to take the individual case and look at it. And also if a marina is looking at building a dry stack, they'll look at it in terms of, its commerciality. They'll look at the return on investment. So extreme weather is one thing, but likewise, the business has to be viable, so it has to see a return on investment on what it does.
Not one solution for the entire industry, but only one measure that has to be taken, and just being more aware of risks and being more aware of things that each individual marina should do or already has to do in order to prevent from further future incidents and make the industry and your own individual business more safe and secure. I think that's probably the basic takeaway of this discussion today. And EBI invests much effort in order to raise awareness and get in contact with the marina industry in order to help them and maybe wake more people up.
And I think, if I can just cut in there, I think one of the great things that EBI do, likewise trade associations do, is they share. I recommend to any marina that they should take the opportunity to join trade associations. They should go to conferences, go to meetings. So we've got the World Marina Conference in 2025, but likewise there'll be lots of small country conferences. Go along, learn from those situations, talk to others, because the industry is incredibly sharing. And don't just sit in isolation with your fingers crossed.
I agree. I like your comment to say that when this time comes, the exchange of experience, then the competition disappears. And I'm so glad. I'm so happy that you said that. And I totally agree. We have to share the experience. We have to learn. We have to improve every day. Nobody's perfect. You see, conditions change all the time. So we have to learn and protect each other in this industry, in the marinas industry, of course.
Maybe last question. What can a boat show like Boot Düsseldorf, where we are today, do in order to support all the efforts that has to be taken in the industry? What is the role of a trade show like Boot Düsseldorf?
In my view, it's very important, and that's why there is a cooperation between the European boating industry and Düsseldorf, Boot Düsseldorf. That's why we have that Blue Dock Innovation thing. And I can only hope that a lot of people follow or read afterwards what has been said on that platform in these panels, that hopefully that boat Düsseldorf inform all these, because all these boat people, all these exhibitors, they didn't have the time to come, and they are also important to know, because these are the first to talk to the clients, to talk to the boat owners. So with Boat Düsseldorf, I think we have a very good support for the industry, and the people here, I know them now a bit closer because I'm in the council. And I see they do a really good job here at Boot Düsseldorf.
From my aspect, to be honest, it was the first time I came to this exhibition. And, of course, my colleagues, they participate every year. What I can say is, first of all, it's the opportunities we have from the commercial aspect, It was really nice. All these people come, they know the exhibitors, they consider our services. For the marine, for example, they come to our stand, they see our services, our innovations, what we do for the marinas, and they make simple questions if they can bring the boat. But I can tell also from my aspect, it's the chance of networking, meeting people, all the friends, exchange opinions, and especially if you have panels like what we did, then you have these deep dives, you know, you exchange opinions for specific issues. And as Jonathan said, we have to do that. We have to share and exchange opinions and knowledge.
I agree with what's been said by both Anne-Marie and Aressi, that despite the fact this is essentially a consumer show, there is an awful lot of trade, you know, business-to-business communication that goes on. And, you know, whilst the likes of both Dusseldorf and, you know, whoever, other shows, Southampton Boat Show or Fort Lauderdale, they continue to support this B2B activity, which happens sort of slightly in the background. But despite it in the background, it's vital. And so, you know, I'd encourage marina managers, staff, to actually look at the consumer shows in a slightly different way, that they're great learning opportunities and great networking opportunities.
And let's promise that we'll meet again next year here.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, and in the meantime, we prepare for the worst and we hope for the best.
But crossing our fingers, of course, okay?
Hello, Ruby, Ati. Jonathan, thank you very much for taking the time. Thanks for visiting Düsseldorf and taking part in the Blue Innovation Talk. Thanks.
Thank you.
Boat Düsseldorf and European Boating Industry present the BID 360 Special.